Live from the Looking Glass Studios.
All right.
It's the In Real Time Car Talk Show. Just ahead, we talk with noted auto author, star of radio and television, a man who monitors the heartbeat of autodom.
All right.
Jack Nerad. Had a chance to drive the Lexus NX450H plug-in hybrid, and I did that review last week. So this week it's going to be something completely different called the Toyota Highlander.
Let's hope.
Turn the page here.
We also have the cruise-in calendar and later Conrad Ed this week in auto history. Just ahead on the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show. That's the name of it, isn't it?
Yep.
Howdy, along with Mike out of this world Mars, King Conrad DeLong. We need more Jeff Zekin. I'm Don Armstrong. Glad that you could join us this morning, and also very glad we go to the West Coast.
So excited
to talk to the host of America On Road. It's Jack Nerad, ladies and gentlemen, and they're on their feet in the control room.
Hey, guys. Nice to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you.
Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. How are things out there in L.A.?
The same.
The same. Well,
thanks for calling. We'll see
got
you next week.
$6.50 gas out here now. It's down from a little bit from before.
It's down from $7.
Still kind of crazy. One thing that they don't think about here is we haven't built a refinery in California for 40 years for environmental reasons, quote unquote. So then they wonder why gasoline is so expensive. Well, if they allow more competition, certainly gasoline would be much less expensive.
There's a huge
gas here is $2 more than the national average, which is a bit crazy.
Well, there is a huge Chevron plant out there, I think somewhere close to L.A., am I mistaken?
I actually, there's a refinery within probably half a mile of my house here that was grandfathered in and probably dates from the 30s or so, the 1930s. But they haven't built a new refinery in California for years and years and years, and very few companies and refiners are out here. So gas is particularly expensive. Plus, we have a special blend.
Of course you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's California only. You know, it's got a little Chablis in it, I think.
California dreaming. There you go.
So they got to pump all that down from Napa, right?
Right, exactly.
Chablis. So
I've tried some of that California stuff in the 70s.
Yeah, I'll bet you did. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you.
Well, Jack, all the talk is EVs. And apparently a lot of people are buying EVs. Have you heard how people are reacting to having an EV 3-4 months in now that they've, you know, kind of gotten used to it a little bit?
I saw one figure, Don, and I'm glad you asked because I think it's a telling figure. And it was from a J.D. Power survey on electrification and on EVs. And it was asking people who had owned EVs what their next vehicle would be. Whether it would be an EV or a conventional car, and only 48% said it would be an EV.
Oh.
And that struck me as, wow, that's kind of interesting, because the people who have EVs now are the early adopters and have really bought into that kind of technology. So if only half of them or their next car, half of them are not going to be EVs, they're not totally sold on this. So there's a lot of smoke around EVs. I don't think there's quite as much fire around it.
And when there is a fire, it's very hard to put out.
Right, right. And it's in your garage, and you better be worried.
They want a diesel to roll coal.
I will tell you, Jack, that I've had some really impressive experiences with Lexus, Toyota's a hybrid system, most specifically with the SUV that I had a couple of weeks ago.
And the RC 500.
It was and the RC 500. I was thoroughly impressed, and I guess what I like about it is they're plug-in hybrids, but you only get 35 miles or thereabouts on a charge, and then it's depleted. Now, I drive 30 miles to work. So 30 miles to work, I can go electrically and plug it in when I get to work. Come home, and I don't use any gas, but the gas motor is there. As a matter of fact, when they delivered it, there was no charge in the battery whatsoever, and I drove it for a couple of days just on the gasoline motor, and it was perfectly fine. I really couldn't tell the difference. And I was really impressed by not only, obviously, the fuel mileage in it, but also how smooth it was and when it transitions from the gasoline motor to the electric motor. Why doesn't everybody buy something like that?
Well, it's interesting, Don. I think you'd be impressed by it a little less if you had to pay for it.
Well,
because what you pay for the plug-in hybrid is a big premium.
It is.
And everything you describe is 100% correct. They are smooth. They are quiet. There's a lot of times you can drive them on electric only. That's great stuff. But when you look at the pricing, it's thousands and thousands
of
dollars.
That's 10 grand more.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of gasoline in $10,000, even at $5 a gallon, right?
Right.
And a conventional Lexus is super smooth and quiet, too. Maybe the plug-in is that much more because the electric motor can kick in and smooth over shifts and do things like that. But generally, plug-in hybrids are kind of dead in the water in terms of consumer sales just because of the premium of the price.
Yep.
Everything you describe about them, 100% correct, but people are not willing to pay that premium for them.
Well, the other thing too, Jack, that I've gotten familiar with here just recently with some of the newer technology, these turbocharged four-cylinder engines, some of them getting 300 horsepower and getting 30 miles to the gallon.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely true. I mean, I was driving the GR Corolla recently, 300 horsepower, crazy amount of power in a Corolla. And then suddenly a Corolla's that's a really fun, exciting vehicle to drive that kind of blows away the competition. I was driving a Subaru WRX. This was during North American Car of the Year testing. I was back in Michigan doing that a week or so ago. And, you know, some really impressive stuff with these turbocharged engines. The other thing about the turbos these days is the flat torque curve. Yeah. They keep their peak torque from like 1200 RPM up to, you know, 5800 RPM, that kind of thing. So whenever you're stepping on the gas, you have tons of torque. And day to day, we're driving torque. So torque's really important.
Well, the other thing about pure EVs, you know, I work in the service, the automotive service industry for a real job. And the pure EVs haven't been out long enough to end up having to return to the service departments for that high mileage repair / maintenance. Now, brakes and all that other stuff still have to happen even on a pure EV. But as far as servicing and maintaining and replacing battery packs, a lot of that hasn't happened in volume enough to learn how expensive it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, battery packs, if you're replacing a battery, I think, you know, when the battery pack goes, you basically have totaled the car.
Correct.
I think, you know, unless there's some catastrophic thing real early on that might be covered by warranty or something like that, because these battery packs are $10,000, $15,000, depending on the amount of range. And the range you have, if you have, say, 300 miles of range, that battery pack is super, super expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and
$20,000+ in some cases. And even on like the Chevy Bolt that was recalled, the way Chevrolet dealt with that was they would send a battery pack to the dealership and pay the dealership to put it in, but there was no parts charge for the battery pack. So really, even the dealership doesn't have any idea as to how expensive that battery pack's going to be to replace as a maintenance item 7, 8, 10 years from now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've seen a few studies that are starting to show up that like batteries are batteries. You know, that 300-mile range in 5, 6, 7, 8 years, they're predicting it's dropping. Now, you know, it may drop down to 275 or something just because the natural process of the battery cycling.
Right, and especially if you're fast charging that thing. Oh, you know, there's a lot of talk about fast charging, and basically the overnight charge in the garage is kind of put on hold for some of these real long-range vehicles. But if you're fast charging that vehicle over and over again, you're degrading the battery. And
yes.
You could lose a lot of range in that process.
Which goes back to how much is it going to cost? You know, is it, it's a 10-year battery. Some of them are saying it's a 10-year battery, but is it really a 10-year battery in real life?
Right.
You know, it
right.
may be an 8-year battery or a 7.
Right. And, you know, is that vehicle essentially worthless at 8 years if the battery pack is gone? You know, do you replace a $20,000 battery pack in a car that's worth, you know, $12,000?
Well, and there's an industry built around, because Toyota Prius, Their battery packs, there's an industry, a side industry built around piecemealing together a Toyota Prius battery pack where you can take out the individual cells and replace them because you can test them. My point with that is at some point all of those cells are going to need to be replaced as they age, and it's going to cost that much more money to do that.
Jack, have you tapped into any of the used car market out there? Because what we're getting here is the fact that, you know, it seems as though that with the onslaught now of some rebuilding of inventory at the new car dealerships, used car sales are starting to go down, and so are the value of used cars. These dealers and people that on used car lots, they've paid premium money for these used cars, and they're not going to get that kind of money out of it when they sell them.
We're experiencing that too. I mean, certainly, we're essentially reverting to what is conventional, right?
Yep,
that used vehicles and all vehicles depreciate. We had a weird phenomenon there for 6 months, a year, where used vehicles were appreciating in value. And that just pretty much doesn't happen. So we're kind of getting back to the norm here, I think.
And I would imagine, do you guys have new car lots here? There are several of them that are charging over MSRP. And to me, that's really bad juju, not only for the car dealer, but also for the manufacturer. It gives them a bad name. Are you jacking up the price when especially manufacturers and dealers alike are making a lot more money than they did 3 years ago? Per vehicle, and
profits are way up.
And they rarely have to advertise, right? Because if supply is so tight, the advertising costs go down. There's a lot of savings from this for the dealer. And you're absolutely right. In fact, surveys across the country indicate that the average vehicle is going out at over MSRP and maybe $1,000 or more over MSRP.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's a big change, certainly, because we used to see major discounts from the suggested retail price.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's interesting out there in the West Coast. Have you seen inventory on new car dealer lots start to increase?
It seems to be picking up some, yeah. I mean, and it's... It depends on the brand, really. Some makes are doing better than others in terms of replenishing their stock, and some are still suffering. Honda has had a difficult time, I think.
Very much so.
Working through this. Others, the Korean Kia and Hyundai seem to have handled it much better and are in pretty good shape in terms of inventory. We're starting to see some incentives out here. We're actually starting to see some lease deals, even from Toyota.
You had mentioned that, Conrad.
Just to kind of keep the momentum going, I guess.
Jack, one more thing before we let you go. Well, several more things because we've got a little bit of time here. What have you driven lately that you're impressed with? Something new, something that's on the horizon for everybody.
Well, I was driving the Nissan Z recently, and that was a vehicle that I've had a soft spot for in my heart for a long, long time. I mean, I remember the Zs from back in the 70s and going through. So driving the brand new Nissan Z, the 2023 Z, was a treat. It's one of those vehicles that kind of retains the same feel that first vehicle had 30, 40 years ago. It's fast. It's, I think, faster than many would imagine, actually, given the price. Not terribly expensive either. I mean, in today's terms, the vehicle I was driving, I think, was about $55,000. That's a lot of money to me, but I think in terms of a new vehicle with that kind of potential, it's quite a bargain. So that was one vehicle I've really been impressed with recently.
Yeah, not to show my age, but the original 240Z came out in 1970, 52 years ago.
My brother's a Z.
Thanks.
My brother owns Zs. He gets one every few years.
Don remembers that.
Do you think that
I do too.
I really enjoyed the styling, but will the styling hold up like Nissan tends to be slow on the uptake and updating styling?
You know, here's the thing. I think there's a whole different mindset of people who are younger than us, which in my case is most people, I guess. But, you know, two-door sports cars are real cool to me. I don't think they're nearly as cool to generations who are younger than me. And I think I've got some 20-year-old children, and two doors are just kind of weird to them. They don't understand the point. They think they're really inconvenient. So I think there's a group that thinks this is cool, but I think there's others that kind of shrug their shoulders and go, give me a nice SUV with four doors and a lot of space, and I'll be happy.
It's funny you say that, because one of my son's friends, he bought a two-door Honda Accord on purpose because he said, nobody ever wants to go anywhere with me because they don't want to have to climb in the back.
Good
so
point.
I don't have to drive. I'm like, hey, Justin, you're smarter than the average bear.
So how was the LA Auto Show?
Well, the LA Auto Show is coming up in about 3 weeks, and I think it's going to be a good one. I've been talking to those people because I am vice president of North American Car of the Year. We're going to introduce or unveil the finalists for North American Car of the Year, Truck of the Year, and Utility of the Year at the LA Show. So I'm excited about that. We're going to have a big display there. I think it's going to be a pretty good show. I mean, this is Los Angeles is a county, a city that relies on the automobile, certainly. So a lot of people are enthusiastic about cars, and I think we're going to have a good show.
We look forward to our invitation.
Do you have knowledge of the fact that all of the manufacturers are going to be there? Because, you know, here there have been several major auto manufacturers that have not shown in the Houston Automobile Dealers Association show that we have in January. Is that the same
thing?
Right,
and I think we're going to see that in Los Angeles, too. I think a lot of the luxury manufacturers, for one reason or another, don't seem to want to display at auto shows these days. And I think that's a mistake, because I think what you build in an auto show is not just demand right now, but I think we all, you know, all of us remember going to auto shows when we were 10, 12, 13 years old, looking at the cool cars and going, boy, I wish I had this, you know, Mercedes-Benz or this BMW or et cetera, et cetera. Knowing that, you know, a 12-year-old boy is not going to buy that, but somewhere in the future you're going to. So I think that's a big mistake. And some dealers are actually kind of taking it up and exhibiting those cars anyway without manufacturer support. And I think that's a pretty good idea.
It seems to be what was going on here last year. We had more dealers than OEMs.
Yeah, that's what happened
OEMs.
Here in Houston.
Yeah. Well, Jack, it's always great to talk to you, get your insight on the auto industry and all the new and latest things. And you make us smarter. And get a few laughs out of it as well. It's always a pleasure.
Well, I love talking to you guys. And, you know, I hope you have a wonderful Halloween. Go out and scare some people. And
we already have.
Well, Jack, again, thanks. And we'll talk to you again soon. Happy Halloween and Thanksgiving if we don't talk to you before then.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I look forward to it.
Host of America on the Road, Mr. Jack Nerad, our guest. And it's always good to talk to him.
It's always fun.
Mm-hmm. Time for the cruise-in calendar.
Well, next Saturday, November 5th, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. is the Klein Band Car Show, fundraiser for Klein Band. We had them on earlier today. Mm-hmm. Also next Saturday is the Corvettes Invade SVRA weekend at Circuit of the Americas, and we know Don's not going to go.
I'm not.
But that would be a cool weekend to go to. Saturday, November 12th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. is the Travis FFA Car Show at Travis High School in Richmond, Texas. Everybody's doing a fundraiser. November 12th, the Vet Fest Car and Bike Show at Warriors Refuge, and that is runs till 5 p.m. Saturday, November 19th, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. is Coles Crossing Cars and Coffee. That's back. That had gone away for a while because stupid people showed up and ruined it. The Houston Ferrari Festival in support of Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Center is going to be the December 4th, and that's going to be down in the River Oaks area. Oh, Don, you're so fun. And that's going to be a
looking for a date.
$5 to get in, even for non-participant spectators, and then okay. $20 to put a car in. But, again, all of the donations go to Children's Cancer and Hematology Center.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, sir. Time now for this hour's car review. Had a chance to drive the 2022 Toyota Highlander. It comes in these trim levels, and I like this about Toyota, that they put packages together and they call them different names. So the Highlander comes in the L, the LE, the XLE, the XSE, the Limited, and the top of the line Platinum. The reviewed trim level that I got to drive was the XSE V6 all-wheel drive. This is a small SUV, not. They have increased the size of the Highlander unbelievably.
Yeah,
this thing is big. It's a three-row vehicle. Not that you can get a human being in the third row. That'd be strictly for kids. But you can get up to 8 passengers and driver in this thing, 7 with the second-row captain's chairs, which is what I would recommend. Exterior changes from last model year. Complete redo in 2020. This is my first chance to drive one. Exterior features include noticeable wheel well bulges front and rear. The rear bulge starts actually at the front door. Yep, you'll have to see it to believe it. Sharp looking front end with stylish grille. XLE gets huge lower valance opening. Narrow tail lamps. Overall attractive car. And rear. And we like the rear.
Okay.
Interior highlights. Attractive, functional dash layout with a big touch screen that's easy to use.
We like big.
Seating comfort is high. Cubbies and storage spaces abound in this vehicle. Easy steering wheel controls. Cargo trunk room, small with the third row up, as you can imagine. What I liked about it? The attractive upholstery in the one that I had, it looked awesome. It had the red and the black interior, and we had a dark blue exterior, and it actually fit. It worked.
It was a good-looking car.
It was. As bizarre as that may sound.
I was going to say, that sounds like an odd combination.
But yeah. it works. What could use improvement? Move the passive cell phone charger to the front of the console, please. 3.6-liter V6. 295 horsepower, 263 pound-feet of torque through an 8-speed automatic transmission. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. Gets 20 miles per gallon city, 27 highway for a combined of 23, according to the window sticker. I got 21.2 miles per gallon over 334.9
Pretty
miles.
Pretty good for a big SUV.
What I liked, the perfect power match with this size SUV. What could use improvement? I would like to see a turbocharged four-cylinder option in it to get a little bit better gas mileage. That's just me. Ride and handling, one of the best rides in its category. What could use improvement? An adjustable suspension? I don't know. It rode really well. I really like the ride on it. Base trim price, $43,950. Price is tested, $47,163. Base model price, $35,855. Competitors, the Kia Telluride for $33,390, the Hyundai Palisade for $35,250, and the Honda Pilot for $38,080. And that, my friend, is a review of the 2022 Toyota Highlander. I was impressed.
I like it.
But you know, like all of these vehicles, then, especially in the SUV category, they start off small. The Highlander used to be, remember when it was introduced? It was a small SUV. Perfect. Little five-passenger
SUV. Bigger and bigger every region.
I can't hear a word you're
saying. Yeah, and there's some kind of feedback noise.
Is there some sort of reason that you don't put on your headset?
They get bigger and bigger with every redesign.
I know. And I'm sure that there's a reason for that, but I don't know what that reason is.
This one looks like it's got a lower profile roof line. The one that you had.
It slopes down at the back end of it.
That's probably what it is, the optical illusion of that.
Yeah. Is there something, do you need to do something over there? What are you doing?
There's some kind of
It's Monty. Except I can't hear it.
Yeah, well.
Wait just a minute. Hold it down there again. No, it's not enough volume. I can't hear that.
Oh, it's your Monty the Singing Donkey.
Yes, thank you for that. Is there, was, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. What the,
I don't know what that was about, but did you just have a little, some sort of a mental tick?
I'm sitting here looking for the little feedback buzz that I'm hearing.
I know, that's right. I was looking around.
Yeah, he's trying to put the donkey on.
Well, he's hauling donkey.
Hauling donkey.
The Singing Donkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. The Singing
Donkey. Why do you call it that, the donkey? Hauling donkey as opposed to ass.
So you don't say the A word.
That's right.
The ass word?
That's right.
It's an ass.
That's right.
There's a donkey, an ass, and a mule. Did you know that?
Well, we do now.
I thought a donkey was an ass.
No, they're different. They're all different. Three different things.
Well, one of them can't reproduce.
That's right. One of them's from a horse mixture.
Well, it's a horse and a mule makes a donkey.
Mike, are you writing this
Correct.
Down?
No, I'm trying to forget it as long as fast as I hear it.
But if a
well,
horse,
you're the one that came up with hauling donkey. We'd never heard of
I
such a thing.
I didn't bring it up today.
I've heard that.
If a horse and a mule make a donkey, did it have to start with Mr. Ed so it could be a singing donkey?
Horse is a horse, of course,
boy.
Unless, of course, it's a talking horse, of course. Unless, of course.
Do you know the voice of Mr. Ed was actually a country rockabilly singer from like the 40s?
No, I did not recognize
his voice,
that.
Voice, yeah.
You know, we kind of go off the tracks here on the In Real Time show some of the time.
Stay tuned. We're going to bake a cake.
And Jeff's going to whip up the mixture.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to come out as a brownie of some sort.
Yeah. We like brownies.
I know you do. Hey, the In Real Time car show talks and streams on the iHeartRadio app, Facebook, YouTube, and InWheelTime.com. 30-minute podcasts available from your favorite podcast provider. The In Real Time Car Talk Show continues right after this quick break.
Starting to work on your Christmas calendar? Be sure to add the next Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise in Saturday, December 17th. You'll want to attend Tailpipes and Tacos Christmas Edition at the Loopy Tortilla in Katy, 8 to 11 a.m. It's the only place cruisers compete for Loopy's Chili Pepper trophies and other prizes. There's no charge to enter your vehicle for Best Hot Rod, Best Classic, or Best Modern Classic. Tailpipes and Tacos is Houston's coolest and most unique cruise-in and is your opportunity to see the best hot rods, show cars, classics, and resto mods. And get Loopy Tortilla breakfast tacos with adult beverages. There's no entry fee and cars will automatically compete for those much sought-after custom Loopy trophies and other prizes. It happens at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy on the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard, just south of I-10. It's the Tailpipes and Tacos Christmas Edition, Saturday, December 17th. The In Real Time Car Talk Show will be there, too. Celebrate the Christmas season with friends and family at Tailpipes and Tacos. Saturday morning, December 17th, 8 to 11. We'll see you then, weather permitting. Want to take a minute to tell you about Gulf Coast Auto Shield, a Houston detail company like no other. Gulf Coast Auto Shield offers paint correction services that'll give your car, truck, or SUV a like-new shine. Afterwards, you'll want to protect it with a professionally installed nano-ceramic coating or protection film. Worried about your very expensive windshield getting damaged, broken, or cracked? Let Gulf Coast Auto Shield install ExoShield, a windshield protection film. Give John Gray a call today or check out their website, gcautoshield.com. Hey, whether you own a new, ultra-expensive, exotic, or a five-year-old Suburban, Gulf Coast Auto Shield will help keep your investment looking like the day it rolled off the assembly line. Gulf Coast Auto Shield is conveniently located on the South Sam Houston Parkway, just south of I-69, the Southwest Freeway. Meet the staff and check out all of their services online right now at gcautoshield.com. The In Real Time Car Talk Show is now part of the iHeart family. Now you'll have access to 24/7 car talk anytime you need a fix. Just download the iHeart Radio app and ask for In Real Time Car Talk, and there we are. Be sure to save us in your iHeart library for instant access. No matter where you are, you have the best car talk show right on your PC, laptop, or mobile device, and never have to worry about finding us again. Of course, you can always get access to our video and audio streams via InWheelTime.com and your favorite podcast channel, and all of this is free to you. From the iHeartRadio app, you'll not only hear our Saturday morning live show, but the best shows of the past, updated weekly.
Never miss a minute of up-to-date new car reviews, pre-owned reviews, Conrad's Car Clinic, informative interviews, automotive news, and the most fun car talk show on the planet. Just download the iHeartRadio app, search for In Real Time Car Talk, save it to your library, and with a tap of the icon, you'll be in touch with your favorite car talk team. In Real Time Car Talk, streaming now on iHeart.com/InRealTimeCarTalk.